Hello and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so nice to see all of your faces and welcome to Peace On, our podcast series. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. And I am Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance. I'm delighted to see all of you here. I'm joined by Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead, who is also celebrating her birthday today, and Liz Gannon Graydon, who is on the board of the Peace Alliance, to help me facilitate today. And we have a special guest, James Barras. It's nice to see you again, James. You were with us several months ago. It's nice to have you back. Can you unmute yourself?
Great to be back. I really enjoyed the first time and looking forward to being with everyone again today.
Wonderful. Before we get started, I believe you have a course coming up called Awakening Joy. Do you want to tell people about that? And I'll put the link in the chat.
Sure, be happy to. You were just talking about Spirit Rock giving stuff online. And I've been doing this course, since 2003, and people do it from all over the world, and it's basic practices that come out of Buddhist philosophy, although it's completely non-sectarian, inclining the mind and the heart towards joy. And it's a five-month course from end of January to beginning of June, and no pressure, no guilt for not keeping up. You do it as a nourishing experience, and about 500 people do it or so each time. There is a modest course fee, but anybody can join whatever finances work for them. You can just offer what does work for you, and you put it into the Terry. You put it into the. So you can just go on the website and check it out. There's a little introductory video. And if you do the practices, they seem to work. So I really enjoy doing it as well.
Wonderful.
So please come and join us. Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be wonderful for the people who participate. Well, we're going to start today before you get into your story. And Yelena is going to lead us in a meditation that's related to your story, and then she will hand it off to you. Yelena, can you unmute yourself?
Wonderful, thank you. Thank you, Terry. Welcome, James. Welcome, everyone. It's so lovely to see you here and to celebrate with you. This is one thing I would not miss, a hope story circle. So the practice I'm inviting you in today, it's really a practice that James actually shared with me. So this is a really honor to kind of do that with you all. And I'm inviting you today in a practice that cultivates a heart of compassion, awakening the goodness, the kindness, and the love you are by sending out and taking in. So if you're listening to this practice as a podcast, I invite you to take a moment to imagine or look at a picture of someone dear to you that is currently present in your life. And for all of us present in this call, I invite you to turn on your camera, if all possible, and gather your attention and choosing a particular person on this call to practice sending kindness, goodwill, and love. You can even pin them or spotlight them so they become big on your screen and clear on your screen. So let's just take time to just look around and just gather your attention on that being. And once you have that beautiful being selected, just take a moment to settle into your body, letting go of whatever tension you can, and inviting some breathing, settling, perhaps grounding the soles of your feet on the ground, loosening your shoulders, softening your hands, and perhaps inviting a smile to gently appear on your face. And just allowing yourself a moment to connect with the spirit of goodness, gentleness, kindness. That peace and love that reside within you. Notice where in your body these feelings arise. For many of us, it is the experience of the warmth and the fuzziness in our chest, around our hearts.
Hello?
And our smile often eases and widens with each breath. And just for a moment, let's simmer in this feeling of loving presence. The gratitudes. And when these feelings start to bubble up, really wanting to be expanded, I invite you to turn your attention to the person you chose and allow these bubbling feelings and loving energy to radiate out. And you might want to add kind wishes to this loving energy you're sending and silently repeat to yourself, really orienting it toward that person. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you feel my kindness and love for you. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you feel my kindness and love for you. And just as you're sending that goodwill and love, become aware that at the same time, someone here is also sending you that goodwill and love. And allow yourself to take that goodwill and love in. And let it bubble out. is the cycling of loving kindness. Me to you, you to me, us to us. Something that a wonderful guest, James, is calls loving kindness recycling machine. And now perhaps turning your attention to the entire group, silently repeating the wishes. May we be healthy. May we be happy. May we all feel kindness and love for each other and all beings we come in contact with.
Is anyone there?
We are here, sending you so much love and kindness. Thank you all, and welcome, James.
Oh, thank you very much, Yelena. I hope you all experienced how simple it is to open up the channel and wish goodwill towards someone that maybe you have never met before, and we're the beneficiaries of doing that as we open up that channel of caring. And as Yelena was saying, just as important to be able to take in the goodwill coming our way, which sometimes is even harder than sending it out. So I hope you got the feeling on both ends. So now I was asked to give a story, and I first want to acknowledge for those who might have come in late, this is Yelena's birthday. So it's a particular treat to be here and celebrate with everyone and celebrate her. And I'm sure you can feel that good heart coming right through the screen. So this is dedicated to your well-being, Yelena, for a great year and for all of us to share in that with you and for ourselves. So I was asked to share a story, and I had a few different possibilities that I ran by Yelena and Terry and Liz, and it was a consensus that this was this time of the year a story about connection and about giving and receiving. We're coming on the holidays, so it's appropriate that we perhaps do a little bit of reflection on the power of connection and giving and receiving. So I shared with them, I'll share with you a story that happened many years ago for me on the power of giving and of generosity. Because generosity is both an act of giving and also receiving. And it is the currency of our caring. It is the things that we remember are the stuff that passes through us. And I, before I share this story, I want you to reflect on perhaps some gift that somebody has given you, maybe in your house. You want to mute yourself? There you go. That some sweater or a cup or some present that you've been given that you appreciate. For me, it's every morning when I have a cup in my, when I brush my teeth and drink my cup that was gift from friends 1982, I use that cup and I say, oh, thank you, Roger. Thank you, Francis. And you might think for a moment, like that the gifts that we give and that we receive are the caring that they represent even more than the objects themselves. So you might think for a moment on who is in your life every time you use that particular gift and how magical that is. So with that in mind, I share this story that happened 1979. So it's 41 years ago. Yes, I'm still around. And it was on a long retreat, a 3-month meditation retreat that happens every year in Massachusetts. And on this particular retreat, this is in the Insight Meditation Society Center up in Barre, Massachusetts. And I was assigned pot washing. That was my work meditation job. They didn't ask for volunteers. They just assigned, and pot washing happens to be one of the most strenuous and consuming jobs. And I was feeling sorry for myself because there was stacks and stacks of pots. And I was a very diligent yogi at that time. And I wanted to be there for the sitting after lunch. And I was kind of doing my job and a little grumbling and complaining in my inside how, you know, unfair life was to me. You know how the mind can go like that. While I was supposedly diligently doing mindfully my pot washing. And as I was doing this, somebody, one of the two managers on the retreat, came out of the staff room, which in those days opened right to the pot washing area. And he looked at me, thinking that I was diligently doing great service to the whole community. And he looked and he had this piece of something wrapped in foil. It was fairly substantial size. He looked at me and he looked at what he had in his hand and he leaned over and he whispered and he said, "This is for you, for all the good work that you're doing." And he put it off to the side. And then I had a whole different motivation for getting through the pot washing. It wasn't so much to get to the sitting, it was to see what was in that foil. And I ambitiously did all my dishes, wiped off my hands, cleaned, and it slowly opened, you know, like you're about to open up to a treasure. And there in that foil was a big piece of cheesecake with glaze and nuts all over it. It was like it dropped from the heavens. I couldn't believe my eyes. I think I actually closed the foil and then opened it again and it was still there. And when you're on a retreat, perhaps if you've ever done a retreat, you start to have an expansive heart. And so gratitude and generosity naturally develop when you're doing intensive practice. And besides, it was a big piece. So it seemed a bit too much to eat all by myself anyway. By this time of the retreat, this is about a couple of months into the retreat, an extra slice of bread at tea time was a big deal for me. And so here was this huge piece of cake. And what I decided to do was break it into 4 pieces and put it into 3 other friends' bowls. In those days in the meditation center, they don't do this anymore. Now they run the dishes through every time and sterilize in a very hygienic way. In those days, everybody had their own bowl and their own place, and you knew whose bowl was where. There's not much else to do on a 3-month retreat, so you get to know who you feel connected with. Oh, and that's so-and-so's bowl. And so I put it into 3 compadres who I really felt a connection with, and just as a gift, it delighted me. And I waited around for tea time surreptitiously from far away to see each person go to their bowl when tea time came around. And each one, as I anticipated, eyes popped out. Oh my goodness, where did this come from? One person broke their piece in two and put it in somebody else's bowl, half of that, keeping it for themselves. That last person, by the way, turned out to be somebody who's a dear friend and colleague and fellow teacher at Spirit Rock, Howie Cohn. Maybe you might know him, a wonderful teacher and dear friend. And what happened, why I share this story, is that I ate my piece, the quarter of that big original piece. I can guarantee you, I ate it very mindfully. I was really there for every morsel. It took about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, I guess, before it just melts in your mouth and goes down your gullet. But what has remained 41 years later is a connection with five other people through one piece of cake. Jim, the manager, the three people that I shared with, and then Howie at the end. And it really has driven home the point that what we share and what we receive is more than the stuff, it's the vehicle for our caring heart. That's the real magic. And I want to add, since I have a couple of minutes left, that as Yelena was saying, it's as important to be able to receive as to give, especially as this season is coming up, this season of giving, as it's often called, the holiday season. Many people are much better at giving than receiving. But it is a very important act of generosity to be able to receive as well. So if you're like some people whose love and generosity comes out quite naturally, but as far as taking in from others is a little bit less easy, more challenging. Keep in mind, I'll share with you a little bit of Buddhist teachings, that the power of a gift depends on the purity of in the heart of the one giving, the purity of the gift, and the purity in the heart of the one receiving. So if somebody gives you a gift and you have, as is a common response, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, you shouldn't have gone to that length. Have you ever done that, given a gift to somebody and say, oh, why did you do that? Oh, you shouldn't have done that. How does that feel? It's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have, or, oh, it's, I hope it's not too much. And it kind of takes away from the joy. But if you give a gift to somebody and their response is, oh, thank you so much, there's a sense of completion and ease and fullness. And if you can do that when somebody is kind to you, whether it's a gift, a physical gift, or just a gift of their presence or thoughtfulness, and you can receive graciously and say, oh, thank you so much, it actually increases the good karma of the person who's giving the gift. In Buddhist circles, it's called being a field of merit for that person's good karma. So just keeping that in mind as we go into this season of giving and receiving, that receiving is just as important and powerful and a gift that you're giving to everyone else, as well as feeling the joy of generosity, because in the teachings, it is said to be the ongoing practice of letting go, a mind and a heart that lets go, loves to share, and feeling the interconnection between us all. So that's my story, and I'm sticking with it, and hope that you have your own story of generosity and can use it not just as theoretical, but as a practice as you go through these coming weeks. And every time you do give, notice how good it feels inside. Not just, oh, this is a nice thing. Oh, this feels so good. And every time you do receive, take in the love of the one who's sharing with you. So I'll stop here and—
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, James. So Yelena, do you want to frame the inquiry one more time for people?
Yeah, thank you, Terry. Thank you, James. That just brings so much goodness. I felt like I ate that piece of cheesecake. Okay. 41 years later. Just as you reflect on generosity, just take a moment to reflect on generosity when you come into your small group. And perhaps the invitation is to really think about a time where the purity of the heart, where you gave somebody with that purity of the heart, and it was received in that way. And when you received something and you really received it. So just think of time like that and reflect and share that. And see what you noticed when you are sharing it. See if that maybe once you share it, it multiplies. It actually evokes the same feelings of that. So the invitation for our small groups is to kind of gather, reflect on this. And then as always, you know, when you are in those groups, just listening with a heart, fully listening to the story being told, and then really speaking from your experience, speaking from your heart and saying just enough so that everybody else has a time to share. Just taking that little piece of cheesecake you know, just having enough. And
And all right.
But that's it. And if you don't feel poised to speak and share, just reflect for yourself and offer a gift of listening.
All right. I'm going to pause the recording now and we'll start it up again when we come back together. All right, welcome back everyone. It's nice to see you. So who would like to share? What is alive for you from the breakout rooms? You can unmute yourself and share what you'd like to. Go ahead, Dee.
So I got to meet some wonderful new people in my breakout room, Angie, Nicole, and Linda. And I was telling my story about her that I did not expect that she chose out of her own knowing of what I would want, which was an unusual, that was out of the box for my family. And Linda really said something that really resonated with me, that it means so much when we get a gift from someone that we didn't expect and we get a chance to see, and Linda, I'm paraphrasing, so if I say this wrong, you can correct me. We get a chance to see what they see in us. That they chose this gift that they felt we would, that would resonate with us and that we would really enjoy, that maybe they're seeing something in us that we didn't know was there. And that it can be a wonderful learning experience, even if the gift in the beginning doesn't, you know, you're unsure of why they gave it to you. So I thought that was a lovely way to look at it. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, thank you.
If I could just have a quick response, it's one of my favorite practices. Oh, am I on? Yeah, one of my favorite practices that that was going to be another possible practice of looking at yourself through someone else's eyes, because they they see who you are in a way that you probably don't. We usually look at what's wrong or tuned into our flaws, but when we look at through someone else's eyes, they're just seeing the goodness that naturally shines through. So it's a great practice.
Who else would like to share? You can unmute yourself and begin speaking.
Nancy?
Well, I don't know if David mentioned this, but last week, some of us got together on this call, and we just chatted for a few minutes anyway. We didn't realize there was no Hope Story Circle, so we just visited anyway, and it was really lovely, and I just want to say that this is a gift to all of us, and it keeps on giving.
Oh, thank you.
How beautiful.
I want to say that in our group, we started talking about the concept that generosity doesn't come from us. It comes through us from somewhere else. And you can identify that somewhere else as any old way you want to, but it comes through us. And when we recognize that someone else giving to us is also doing the same thing, it's like we're witnessing a miracle.
Beautiful. I love these perspectives. I feel like this is reminding me of an expression a friend of mine said to me when I was, just kind of like poo-pooing myself. And she said, "Don't talk to my friend that way. That's my friend you're talking about right now." And it got into my head, and I feel like I'm more mindful now if I start to put myself down, whether it's a joke or not. It reminds me to be kinder to myself, which in turn, I think, puts that energy of positivity and kindness into the world. Because if I'm doing it to myself, I'm kind of putting that into the world too without realizing it. So she told me to remember to be kind to myself, and that helps the world, I think.
So beautiful, Annette. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share what came up in their group?
Linda?
Yeah, I would just like to say thank you, guys. I'm working on a project with 35 young ones that I didn't expect, that I found out about this morning at 9:30. And so my friend, Nicole, she's one of my mothers. She's also, she's a very wonderful, kind person. And I asked her if she would be the keeper of my Zoom while I was filming children dancing to Joy to the World. And she did. And you guys were all so kind to her and welcomed her so beautifully. So I want to thank you for doing that and including her in this circle. And I'm excited because I think she's going to come and join us. And she's a psychotherapist. She works with children. She's written several children's books about her daughter, Egypt. And so I want to thank Dee and Angie for being so kind to her. And also, Helena, just thank you for sharing your birthday and being here. You bring light to everyone. And so we appreciate that.
Thank you, Linda. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Cheryl?
Oh. Yeah, happy birthday, Yana. It's wonderful that you shared yourself with us on this special day. I had a wonderful group, and my personal journey with giving and receiving is that it's much easier for me to give without expectation. But when someone gives to me or compliments me, I find it more difficult to receive. And what I think that's all about for me is overthinking, using my mind instead of just opening my heart and receiving whatever good comes to me. So I'm consciously working on that, down to the fact that I showed both people that I had received this note from my granddaughter that says, "I don't know what I'd do without you."
Oh.
And it just, it was beautiful. It is beautiful. It gets to me every time I see this, but I had trouble. I found myself pushing it away because I thought, well, I'm going to die someday. Isn't this too much for her to feel this so strongly about me? And then I just realized that this is not how you just feel it with my heart instead of overthinking or thinking at all. And so that's what I've been working on. And that's it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Cheryl. Well, James, would you like to have any final comments before we start closing the call?
First of all, it's so beautiful just to see the wisdom coming right out of each of you and each of us when we just slow down to feel what this is all about and how accessible the not only the love but the understanding and the wisdom when our minds don't get in the way and we just feel that connection. So it's really beautiful to hang out with all of you and to know that all of you are committed to making this a better world. So I'll mention just two things and I don't have to wind down. First, those who weren't here, I'm going to, let's see if I can do this.
I have the link if that's what you're looking for.
Okay, I was just about to do that, yeah. So this is, for those who came on late, I invite you to check out my Awakening Joy course, which is gonna be starting end of January. And one of the themes is learning to love yourself. It's one of 10 themes and it's a fun, rich way to practice basic principles that incline towards well-being. And as I said before, there's a modest fee, but anybody can offer whatever works for them. And I don't want finances to get in the way. The other thing I wanted to do, and this will be a practice for all of us, but particularly for Yelena, is to sing happy birthday. But you know that it doesn't work to sing out loud on Zoom together. So everybody has to unmute yourself and I'll sing happy birthday. Or you, if you don't unmute yourself, just don't sing. And Yelena, your practice now, here it is in real time. Here, let's see, don't do that. Is you want to be a field of merit for our appreciation of you. So there's a famous Tibetan teacher who said, timidity is just another ego trip. Let go of being small. There's no time to play small and just receive all the goodwill and love coming your way. So it increases our good karma as well. And this is a time to celebrate. So I'll sing. You can sing out loud if you mute. You can sing along. In fact, that would be probably preferable so she sees all of us singing. Okay, so here it is, Yelena. Just relax and let it in. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Yelena. Happy birthday to you. Thank you for all you do in this world. Now you take it in and then you just be able to let it out that much more. Thank you. And thanks to Terry and Liz there's one other person who I forget.
Judy.
For hosting and inviting me and to Yelena and see you around on the Dharma Trail somewhere. Be well.
Thank you, James. So we have just a few things to share before we close. We do have a national call this Tuesday, and our guest speaker is Joan Blades, who founded MoveOn.org, and her current adventure is Living Room Conversations. So I put that link in the chat, so you can check that out. The link to register for that call, you must register for that call, is on our website on the calendar, and I just put the link in the chat for that. the Peace Alliance, our mission is to empower civic action for a culture of peace. We also have our Peace On podcasts. All of these calls are podcasts at Peace On, which you can access through our website or at Podbean or in Apple. We also have an initiative to condemn election violence that we actually began with Joan Lades. And that link is there too for you to participate in, and our Blueprint for Peace, which is an ongoing initiative to encourage our elected officials know that we want to support policy priorities that are centered around peace building and violence reduction. We are a nonprofit. Giving Tuesday was on Tuesday. We have fundraisers on Facebook, and we also have a donation page. We're trying to gather monthly donors of any size. So if you're interested in donating, we'd love to have you join us. Also the Department of Peacebuilding campaign, Nancy is mentioning, Nancy is the call this coming week. You're on mute.
If it's the third Wednesday.
Third Wednesday, okay. And that's also on the calendar of events, so you can check that out. Right. So Liz, you wanna close for us?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking of how much James's story touched me personally, and I'll try to tell the story quickly. The first week of October, a friend on Facebook had posted pictures of a day trip she took to Woodstock. And Woodstock is only 2 hours from my home, but I had never been. And I just mentioned that to my friend because I know she goes every year. And she said, Liz, I'm taking you. I'm just going to pick you up, put in the car. And we arranged a day 2 weeks later to go. And she said she wanted to spend the day meditating, the weekend meditating and sharing food and fun. And when we were there, we spent an hour in a morning meditation. And she said, I just want, you know, us to sit together and see whatever message comes up. And one of the ways that the universe speaks to me is I'll get a message very clear that's usually a song lyric. And I'll know that's my message, right? That's one friendly way. And Anna and I have talked about how much songs and music mean to me. And as I was sitting there, a song lyric came in so clearly that most of you probably heard. And in the context of the song, it has a more ominous kind of connotation. But it's the second to last line of the song Hotel California. And if you know the line, it says, we are programmed to receive. And that's what came to me so clearly. We are programmed to receive. And it came again and again. And some of you who have been on know that in the last couple of months, I've been going through chemo treatments, but at the same time, my husband got a kidney transplant. So we've been in this place of kind of healing. But in this moment, I've been awakened to that idea that I'm in this place of radical receiving. You know, and as James said, some of us feel more comfortable in the giving aspect, and I'm in this place of radical receiving. And I have one friend who every week since July has on Sunday dropped off a giant pot of soup and some kind of dessert. And last week she dropped off Italian wedding soup and cheesecake. So when James talked about his story of cheesecake, it was like so alive. And I've just been in this beautiful place of having this opportunity to receive from my beloved community. And as Dee said, you know, when you're in the place of receiving and it's something that you really, really need and people see you and recognize and heal you, it's just so powerful. And so I just wanna say how thankful I am to James, not only for that beautiful gift of understanding that reciprocity of giving and receiving, but the gift of the beautiful cheesecake story. And as always, I wanna thank my beautiful co-host Terry and Yelena, happy birthday. And for everyone who joins us each week, I'm thankful to each and every one of you. And I'm thankful for this beautiful gift of community. I hope everyone has a beautiful week.
Thank you so much, everybody. Feel free to unmute yourselves and say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Have a beautiful
week. Bye-bye. Good to see all of you.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.